Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
Well, Jake, I think Vince McMahon, Jake, has taken notice that AEW Dynamite beat them the last 2 weeks in some key ratings demographics. And if I didn't know better, I'd say it was the end of the brand split and they're going to have Raw Super Shows again. I wouldn't call this pushing the panic button just as much as a test of what they can do when they just load up the show, bookending it with Roman Reigns matches and a pretty frenetic pace in the middle. Was that your assessment of why we got the show we got tonight?
Well, I think it's a confluence of factors, right? I mean, obviously they are paying attention to AEW, you know, creeping up on them in the total viewership and then, you know, beating them in demo viewership on a couple of straight weeks. And so, you know, that obviously creeps into your head. And then you got football being back and doing historically good ratings. I mean, much better than the last couple of seasons for the first couple of weeks. And so, yeah, they're, you know, they're staring down a couple of threats, you know, that they need to counter program for. And so I guess that means we're going to get what we saw tonight, which, I mean, I can't really argue against the show. I mean, I think it was a better show than Raw has been in recent months. It's just a matter of, you know, how long can you sustain it, and will, you know, will the hot shotting run out of gas, and then, you know, you're kind of left back in the same place again. But yeah, I do think it's definitely in response to recent events, and I would expect them to try to do something. It's just, you know, can you keep up the pressure?
Oh, exactly. I mean, this was a show. They gave away Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax after what feels like years of build-up and gave us a 2.5-minute match. A new tag team debuted. We had Charlotte and Alexa Bliss basically deconstruct each other's gimmick, which we'll get into live on television. You know, Jeff Hardy, Sheamus with a poor bloody nose from Sheamus once he took his mask off. On and on. I mean, it did feel like it was just one thing after another after another. Hot, you know, like you said, hot-shotting. Try to just, again, I phrased it at the top of the show. I think they're just testing what the high water level is that they can hit if they throw everything against the wall. And the timing is fine. They have one more week like this and then the draft. So, you know, the draft will resettle things. They'll get a better viewership rating most likely in 2 weeks for the draft episode of Raw. And so they just have the fallout from Extreme Rules next week. This was the week, I think, to test. And I'm more curious than I've been in a long time about Raw ratings. Because I really am curious what Roman Reigns means more than anybody else. Although, you know, you also have Big E the week after his title win, who's, if the ratings go up, that'll be a contributing factor too. What did you think about first, you know, Big E's first week on Raw as champion? How do you grade overall how he came out of this episode?
I actually think he's doing a great job. He found some good intensity for the main event, something that I think a lot of people were still questioning whether he could find. I think his, you know, opening promo was brief, but it was effective. You know, he actually had a pretty heartfelt response to the fans, and also got to shout out his longtime close friend Brody Lee, both which I thought were good moments for him. And I think he came out of this week pretty well unscathed. It looks like he's going to be heading into a, you know, a feud with Lashley, at least for Extreme Rules. I'm sure that match will be announced as the week goes on, and we'll have to see what kind of opponents they line up for him post draft. But I am assuming he's going to have some fresh faces on Raw to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Big E's week here too. I thought that he came across as a big deal. You know, in the main event, he didn't take the fall. He didn't get the win, but he looked like he belonged with those two. And part of that is what you spoke about, that being that he framed himself as a serious athlete, having serious adult emotions instead of just being a guy trying to shock people with zaniness and quirkiness and weirdness. And I thought that it worked for him. I thought he struck a tone that said, I'm champion, I now represent this title, and I'm going to carry myself that way, frankly, with more dignity than I think he usually does. I mean, he would probably take issue with me saying he lacks dignity, but I certainly don't think it's I think the way he acts is it usually comes across as a like 24/7 lower card, you know, silly act than someone you take seriously as a champion, potentially representing an era and having a peak moment in his career. Tonight is what I think a lot of people have been waiting to see from him. And that main event was a hell of a main event too. I mean, just the crowd, you know, I think not all matches that get This Is Awesome chance earn them. I would argue maybe most don't, but I think the crowd genuinely really was into what they were seeing with the near falls and the nonstop action. And to have Lashley Reigns and Big E part of a match like that, but especially Big E, again, looking like he belonged in there, and I shouldn't say like he can keep up, because it's not like people perceive Lashley and Reigns as superior workers to Big E, but he just hasn't had moments like that that felt like a main event spotlight on him with established main eventers like those two.
Yeah, I think it's a good case for how WWE has been holding on to a lot of talent that, you know, they could have pulled the trigger on a long time ago. I mean, really, the only thing that separated Big E from where he was to what he was tonight is positioning. And they don't often position people to look like stars. And I think Big E was a guy who people had pegged for years as being somebody who was going to be up next, you know, waiting for the right time, you know, to move him into that spot. And I'm sure circumstance is what created this opportunity for him, but he's not, you know, he didn't fall in the face of the spotlight, which is a good thing to see.
All right, let's pause there and get to phone calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Monday, September 20th, 2021. I'm Wade Keller, the editor of the PWTorch.com website and the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, and also the host of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast and post shows, along with a variety of VIP shows like The Fix with Todd Martin, Everything with Rich Fan, VIP exclusive post pay-per-view roundtables, which we'll be doing this Sunday night just for VIP members for about an hour after the pay-per-view ends. We'll post that within 2 hours of the pay-per-view ending. So go VIP to take part in all those, to have access to downloading and listening to all those shows as the week progresses here. A big week for WWE, a big week for AEW, and a big week for New Japan with the G1 ongoing. By the way, check out pwtorch.com for daily team coverage of the G1 tournament so far. Results and analysis comprehensive and timely at pwtorch.com all week. I'm joined by the other voice you hear, of course, Jake Barnett from ProWrestling.net. Jake, I don't know how we keep missing each other. You've been co-host a bunch. I've been hosting a bunch. And it for whatever reason, has lined up with Zach Adorn. So it's great to talk to you again. And a rare or never before, I didn't check the history here, Monday Night Raw co-hosting appearance. Normally, we talk with you on Wednesday or Friday night. So welcome.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be here. I think this might be my first time talking to you about Raw, so good to finally get in on this conversation.
And a lot of people who, you know, normally host Raw are like, oh, Jake gets this episode? Why did he get this one?
I don't know if I'll hear about it, but I'm sure people are thinking it.
Yes. Cool. Our phone number, if you want to call us, is 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1 on your keypad to join us. We'd really like to hear from new callers. Women and men are welcome. I say women first because the callers are dominated by male callers. So I know there's women out there listening, and we invite your voice to be heard on this show. Also, you can email us, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. We are going to start, assuming I didn't get a note telling me to wait, which I am checking on as I slow talk and stall. No, we're good. So let's go to our on-site correspondent right away here as we start the caller portion of the show and bring on our on-site correspondent, Johnny from North Carolina. Johnny, welcome.
Oh my God, Johnny from North Carolina. I love it. Wade, you're the heel Wade at his best. I am on with Jake Barnett and Wade Keller. Woo! I feel like I was at Madison Square Garden tonight, brother.
Jake, I'm sorry for not warning you ahead of time. I should have cleared this with you. Johnny Fairplay is the voice you hear. He attended tonight. You had good seats, Johnny. You pointed that out to me, and I do agree. Great view. of the show tonight. And how did it feel sitting through what some people, not everybody, not every week, but can sometimes be a slog, a three-hour TV show plus whatever happens before and after. Did tonight just move along at a swift pace, or did it feel long?
Well, I have to say this. Get concussion from a guy named AJ Styles, and sometimes you get really awesome tickets afterwards. I'm not saying that's who I got my tickets from, but been amazing. Yeah. So post-pandemic, we're still in it, but post what was the first pandemic, I was fortunate enough, I called AEW Dynamite in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then I went to the WWE Super Show in Charlotte, North Carolina, and saw John Cena, and then tonight I just left Raw in Raleigh, North Carolina, and holy moly, I feel like I hit the trifecta, and tonight, like, I honestly felt I was like I was at Madison Square Garden. I did not expect tonight's Raw to be like it was. And it was awesome from start to finish. The crowd was into it. No, it did not lag at all. And I've suffered through some Raws, and tonight was not one of those.
Yeah. No, it came across. How full was the building tonight, Johnny?
It was packed. It was beyond packed. Like, I mean, every single seat available was filled. Like the very, very top was blacked off. But I mean, no, they have to be so happy. I mean, parking was $30 for this event, and as a result, I'm walking 2 miles to my car from just past where they charge for parking.
That's insane.
So yeah, with free, I still won't pay $30 for parking.
Johnny, who got? Let me ask this more specifically. How over was Big E on this show compared to other top stars, top baby faces on the show tonight?
He was up there. I mean, when he dropped the Brody reference, I was curious how that would be accepted or acknowledged, and they, like, there was a nice little Brody chant going. So Big E's a star. It was so great to see him accepted as a star, and as you said, I mean, you kind of gave him a backhanded compliment to start this, and I get it, and you're right in many aspects. But no, Big E was a stud tonight. It was really cool seeing him acknowledged as such.
What was my backhanded compliment?
Well, I mean that he's you know, he's quirky. He doesn't, you know.
Oh, sure. I wasn't sure if you meant just like that he held his own or looked like he belonged with Reigns and Lashley tonight, because that just is a compliment. But yeah, you're right. It's a backhanded compliment to say you're not as annoying and weird and degrading to yourself as you usually are, or whatever. However, I more delicately
are, yeah.
Put it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
good point.
He was a superstar tonight, and Bobby Lashley was a superstar tonight, and Roman Reigns was beyond a superstar tonight, and Roman Reigns, despite being beyond a superstar, was booed, and it was so refreshing. I mean, I knew my part. You know, I'm sitting there, and I wanted to cheer Roman Reigns more than life itself, and I'm just like, hey, you know what? This guy's a heel. Like, let's respect that. And so I booed Roman Reigns because I'm supposed to. So I felt like I was at an AEW show in that aspect. It's like, you know, you treat the people like they're supposed to be treated.
All right. This is rapid fire, Johnny. I want you to tell me who was cheered the most in the following matches. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, AJ Styles and Randy Orton.
Oh, Randy Orton.
That's a warm-up question. That's a warm-up question, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
Shayna Baszler.
Okay. And then Ali and Mansoor versus Garza and Humberto.
Real quick, when Shayna Baszler attacked Nia Jax after the match, there was a small thank you, Shayna chant that broke out.
Okay. All right. Cool. We might get back to that. Ali and Mansoor against Garza and Humberto.
Just a murmur across. I mean, like, you know, no one was upset about it, but
yeah. No, and I said, because there were a stretch of matches where I just wasn't entirely sure if even WWE was sending us signals of who we're supposed to cheer and did a bad job of it, or just didn't care, or they're not really sure yet. So that's why I said, I was just curious if the fans were taking sides. Yeah. And, you know, it was pretty clear because, you know, Garza and Humberto saying, we're so handsome, we're going to be a great tag team, doesn't scream babyface, but it's Ali, who's a heel, and Mansoor, who's sort of, you know, whatever he is, a mentor, but not really established fully. So, yeah, I just wasn't sure on that. And then Shayna Naya, I still am not quite sure on. So, Jake, who are we supposed to cheer in Baszler and Nia Jax?
You know, I think it started out one way and it might have flipped the other during the match. So I assume at the end we were supposed to be, you know, sympathetic with Naya. And, you know, she did, like, I don't know if that was, like, for Emmy consideration level of screaming, but she really went off on it for a couple of minutes there. I was kind of impressed.
Go ahead, Jake, and throw Johnny a question.
Yeah, it seems like post, like, the opening 30 minutes when they got through the initial tag match, and then once you got to Eva and Doudrop, the crowd seemed pretty quiet almost until they got to maybe Hardy and Sheamus. There were portions of the tag match with with Mansoor and Ali and everything that the crowd seemed to pick up towards the end. But was it just mic poorly on TV, or was it genuinely that quiet in the building? Like, there were times where I thought I could hear audience members talking to each other on the telecast.
But no, the crowd was hot for everything except for the Mansoor match, which I didn't know was coming up, or that would have been my bathroom break, but that was most people's bathroom break. But no, the crowd was into everything other than that. And they weren't, like, you know, disrespectful of that. They were just quiet.
Okay. So I'm assuming, did you get that impression too, Wade, that the TV audience might not have been mic'd very well then? Because there were portions of the show that just seemed very quiet to me.
It didn't jump out to me that way, but it doesn't mean it wasn't happening. I just didn't notice.
Yeah, they
okay.
They
and
love
then the I guess
Doudrop.
The other.
Oh God, yeah.
They love Doudrop. I was sitting there in shock at the love of Doudrop.
Wow, is this officially a best of seven series, or are we going for like best of 13? Like, what's going on here, Johnny?
I mean, I don't think you're allowed to say the name Benoit, but I'm pretty sure this is Benoit versus Booker T.
No,
best
no.
Seven. Here we go.
Johnny, you've been around. You know what that was based on. You've been around long enough. You got to go back and say Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff.
Oh, there you go. I was there. I was there for match number four.
I was so disappointed.
Yeah, I was one of two people rooting for Nikita Koloff, knowing that he was going to lose, but. Yeah, I was there. Yeah. It was up 3-0. I was like, ugh, here we go.
So why didn't you cite that example? You were there. You know it was the original. And then you jump ahead to the senior. Yeah. You'll live it down, but not tonight.
Because I was confused by people cheering Doudrop.
Cheering
that's why.
Doudrop, yes, fair enough. Jake, anything else you want to jump in with before I come back with some questions?
Yeah, I guess I'm curious how the women's tag title change went over, because it seemed like it was a match that another one that was pretty quiet from an audience standpoint, and then they just woke up for the finish. So it was the pre-match speech kind of a come down, and then it took a while to get back into the match.
So we got I felt like a 3-minute promo for Connor's Cure. Did you guys get any of that on the TV?
That was all televised, yeah.
Yep. It was all fast forwarded on my TV because I was catching up a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So, like, that lasted forever, and they're like, okay, well, when we win, They're going to count 1, 2, 3, and everyone throw up the V afterwards for victory. And I was like, okay, like, well, like, I just assumed that was during the commercial break. But I'm just like, this is the longest commercial break of all time. And then they had the match, and I'm like, okay, they're having the match. And then they won. And so afterwards, I threw up the V as I was instructed to. And I looked around, and no one else had the V.
Funny.
Not one person in the arena other than me had the V.
Wow. It was all a joke on you, Johnny.
So,
everyone's laughing at you. You fell for it.
Were they? Well, hey, you know what? I will tell you this. No one's laughing at this. On my way out, a bunch of people wanted selfies. I took them, and I was on my phone on hold waiting for you, and I'm like, hey, check out the torch. I'm on the torch side. They're like, hey, the torch. I'm listening. So there you go.
Nice. We're very popular in the we're very popular in the lobbies of arenas after TV shows, I hear.
I've heard that.
Yes. Well, thank you for turning it around from something about you to something about me for once. I appreciate that, Johnny.
Well, it's the first time for everything, Wade.
Yes,
you're
I
due.
Don't expect a repeat. I don't expect a repeat at all. Jake, anything else you want to jump in on?
No, you go ahead, Wade.
Okay. So what? Anything happened before Raw went on the air?
Karrion Kross won, and that's when we walked in. But, like, as I said, I walked like 3 miles not to pay $30 for parking. So I don't know who he beat. My girlfriend says she'll be paying $30 next time when I get 3 tickets.
Oh, funny.
And the worst part is I'm walking all the way to my car and then I'm walking all the way back to the tour buses because I'm going to hang out with friends afterwards, but I have to grab presents for my friends.
Oh, yeah, that's generous of you. But I can see why that $30 seems not as valuable as it did 4 hours ago right now.
No, not at all. It's the worst decision I've ever made in my life.
Was did Key, I got a note from somebody, but I didn't have a chance to verify. And maybe you saw something on social media, too, because I wasn't on there, Jake, during the show. Did Keith Lee have a match, and did he have a new name?
Well, I did not see – if that was before Raw, I did not see that. So, no. I don't,
yeah.
Jason, I got there like
– I the only thing I heard, and it was just because it was on my feed, was that that he was announced for a dark match as Keith Bearcat Lee.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, yep. So, yeah, I didn't know if you were there in time to see that, Johnny. But, yeah, Bearcat Keith Lee. So, apparently – he's got a nickname that could be good. It could be bad.
I mean,
we'll see.
You know,
Keith Lee's
pretty
fine,
Keith Lee. I saw Keith Lee in NXT like early, and I mean, I remember 1986 going to the Richmond Coliseum, seeing Junkyard Dog, and I saw elements of that when I saw Keith Lee the first time, and I'm just like, just harness that. Like that guy is there. And I thought Vince McMahon, of all people, would see that. So, I mean, if Bearcat makes him see it, I'm for it because I still think there's something really, really, really special there. And I want the world to see that.
I doubt there was a dark match after Raw, but did they advertise anything that didn't happen or did something happen after Raw?
No, they said, thank you, good night, get out of here. Like as I said, I felt like I was at Madison Square Garden tonight. There was no way I expected to see the match that I saw in the show. Like, that was insane. So, I mean, and they destroyed each other during that match. I mean, they hit my barricade probably like 6 times. I mean, like, it was, like, I watched a pay-per-view main event match on a Monday Night Raw. Like, have you guys seen Monday Night Raw in the last 2 years?
Yeah. Well, how did the Alexa Bliss Charlotte segment work? Because we haven't explored this too much yet on the show, if at all. But it felt like they were trying to, you know, like do a come across as that they're shooting on each other, deconstructing each other's gimmicks, and that was sort of an alternative to doing actual hocus pocus stuff, and perhaps, and it's too small of a sample size and they're too haphazard and herky-jerky in some of their booking. But maybe it's Alexa Bliss kind of moving out of the spell, you know, casting spells and doing this once she's done with Charlotte. I don't want to read too much into it. But Johnny, how did that go over with the crowd? And how did it work with Charlotte, you know, in her home state that, you know, she's named after Charlotte, obviously, her wrestling name. And yet there's Alexa Bliss, who's, you know, just pretty consistently popular with fans.
Yeah, the crowd liked the entire segment from what I could gather. I mean, Alexa, they're both – I mean, I've seen – sorry for saying I mean like 800 times. I've seen Charlotte do Robot Charlotte forever, and I felt tonight is just like, that's real Charlotte. And then Alexa Bliss – there's different components of her character that are good and bad. I thought tonight we got the best of, and I think everyone kind of appreciated the best of. I think there was a little bewilderment. They're just like, oh, where are they going here? But for the most part, I think they were both really appreciative. I mean, it's tough to go against Charlotte in North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. How was it for Jeff Hardy in North Carolina?
Oh, we were all about Jeff Hardy. It's the only good guy I rooted for the entire night, and I was with everyone else.
Very good. Jake, anything else come to mind you want to bring up before we let Johnny go?
No.
I mean,
I just thought it was a great show. I was lucky to be a part of it, and yeah. So, if AJ were to have given me tickets for giving me a concussion in TNA, that would be really cool. But, I mean, like, that didn't happen. So, I thought AJ was the best wrestler of the night. By far, no contest.
You made that very clear. And you know what? Most nights that he wrestles, he is in contention for that. So, that works. Yeah, Jake, anything you want to add?
How great was that, Matt?
Or not.
Real quick, how great was that match as good on TV as it was in person? The AJ Randy Orton.
Yeah, it was really good. It felt like it was there to again have two stars against each other, fill out time with like really good wrestling. If they're going to go longer than 3 minutes, they wanted good wrestlers in there, having a good match, and also they just wanted Orton to get a win back. And AJ's at that stage of his career where you know it's no big deal, especially in a tag team. Oh, Johnny, how did the crowd react to Amos?
Amos, he's big.
Yeah, so it wasn't
nothing extra special. Yeah. I mean, like, I think they cared more about it. Like AJ is like kind of like factored in on like WCW. Like there's something about AJ that reminds you of old WCW, and so like he gets like that North Carolina pop. So Amos was. Amos was just, like dressing for that. But, yeah, no one popped for Amos being Amos.
Fair enough. Cool. Johnny, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate you being our Onsite correspondent tonight. Go have a fun evening, more of a fun evening.
Yes, I got to go see some friends, and thank you so much for having me. And everybody go VIP, and everybody go VIP with Jake. And everyone have a great night. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Excellent. Johnny Fairplay, everybody, from Survivor fame. Tom Stout from the PWT Talks NXT show says, one day I'll do the Wade Keller post show again just so I can tell Johnny Fairplay my mother still hates him, even when I put his torch contributions over to her. I assume that is a Survivor dead grandmother reference. I meant to ask Johnny about Miz being on Dancing with the Stars. We'll have plenty of time for that. Jake, it's always an adventure with Johnny.
Yes, definitely. I didn't get to interject there at the end, but I was going to ask where he ranked that triple threat match in terms of TV matches that he's seen live, because it's pretty rare to get something of that quality on Raw these days.
Johnny, I'm going to unmute you because I see you're still here. I've thrown your name out on a few other topics. If you are able to talk, I'm giving you a warning. You're about to be brought back live again. You still there?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm here.
Did you hear us? Were you able to hear us?
Yeah, I heard you guys. And I forgot to plug. Yeah. I'm doing a live show. I'm doing a live show in Louisville on this Wednesday. A Survivor premiere. Go to SurvivorTix.com to get tickets. It's SurvivorTix.com to get tickets. And special guest is going to be there, Mike Bucci, Hollywood Supernova, Simon Dean will be there at my premiere party. Go to SurvivorTix.com. But yeah, as far as live main events, I've seen. I'll be honest with you. I've been to hundreds of Nitros and all. I mean, top, like the main event, top 15? They tried. I mean, they really tried. And I've seen so many main events that didn't. I loved it. I mean, as I said, the crowd was just so amped and just to see people back together and it was Monday Night Raw and my expectations were so low. So, yeah, I mean, maybe top 15, top 20 of all time.
Yeah.
So, like, live for me. So, I think it's good.
Cool, Jake. I tried a few times when Johnny was on the first time. Now he's back. Do you want to ask anything else or react to anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Just want to be sure this time. Johnny, Miz on Dancing with the Stars, your reality show guru and participant. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Good for him. Congratulations. Yeah. I would love to get that same request. So I'm rooting for him. I will be calling in and doing online votes and everything possible. So because you support your brothers. So there you go. And sisters.
Miz.
But he happens to be a brother.
Miz is not enough to get me to watch Dancing with the Stars. You on that show?
I will not be watching.
Just do it.
I will not be watching. I will just be
but if you're on, I might do that. I'm not going to say why. I'm just saying I probably would watch.
I get it. I totally get it.
Take care, Johnny. All right.
I would too. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. All right. Bye. All right. Our phone number here, if you want to follow that, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. By the way, tomorrow on our Blue Logo show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, former WWE creative team member, host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast, Matt McCarthy joins me. It's been forever since we've done a show together, and we're going to preview Extreme Rules and talk about all these crazy extreme stipulations, Jake, that they've added to the show. Just full of special extreme stipulations and rules. Matt McCarthy tomorrow. So look for that on our Blue Logo show. Search Wade Keller on your podcast app to subscribe to both the free Red Show and the free Blue Show. Or even better yet, support us on Patreon and go ad-free for $4.99 a month. Get the Blue and Red Logo Wade Keller shows along with the daily PW Torch daily casts, thus aptly named, all with the ads and plugs removed and some bonus VIP shows too. So you can support us and get a streamlined listening experience and bonus content for under $5 a month. That's not a sale price. That's just the ongoing rate. There are other tiers, and you can check out details at patreon.com/pwtorch or go full VIP at pwtorch.com/govip. All options are Apple Podcasts compatible with a single click. New in 2021, both our main VIP subscription and our Patreon method of supporting us, all compatible with your iPhone's native podcast app and dozens of other podcast apps out there more than ever. All right, let's get to calls. And we'll start with Greg in Kansas City. Greg, thanks for holding. You're the first non-on-site correspondent. What'd you think of Raw tonight? What's on your mind about it?
Well, I will say that, and as we've talked about before, when you know, they're hot-shotting or whatever they're doing right now. I mean, it makes for a much more exciting television show because, I mean, I don't think Raw is always terrible, but this is the first time in a while I could say it was like a – I mean, it was – a large portion of it was exciting, and there was nothing on the show that I would call boring or bad. So I felt that this was not just because of the – not just because of the loaded-up show at the top, which was clearly, very clearly this was being done for ratings, whether it's AEW, whether it's football, whether it's both, it's very clearly being done for a ratings boost. But overall, like, I felt the entire show in general, it was much more, for the most part, around the show in general. Maybe it was just the excitement of the opening and closing segments. I just felt like it was a more solid show in general. There were some other positive things on the show, just in addition to the closing segment. But I mean, it was if it's always going to be like this, if they're always going to be desperate to pop a rating and put out a show like this, then that's not a bad thing.
Jake, this is not a sustainable show, right?
I guess, you know, it really depends on, you know, how many people they could line up, right? I mean, you can't burn through all your feuds in a couple of months by giving away matches on TV, because then you end up right back in the position you were in before when Raw was at its worst, when it was just nothing but rematches after rematches after cold segments after rematches. And so, is it nice to see fresh matchups on television? Absolutely. Yes, it's what people crave. It's what they want. It's just, can you sustain it at this pace? I don't know. You know, I think they're going to, you know, there was quite a few, what was it, six or was it a seven match show? I'm trying to think, actually eight looking at the report that I see here. So it's going to be tough to put on this many great matches that are fresh on a weekly basis. I mean, yeah. I think they have to, you know, try to work in some angles to actually heat up things on the show that aren't working. You know, there were, like, even Doudrop has to be finished now. Like, that cannot continue anymore. And while I enjoyed AJ Styles and Randy Orton, I really don't have a desire to see them have two or three more matches on television every week. And so I think those types of things have to be replaced by heating up other programs. And that's where, you know, when Vince is in this kind of mood, those are the things that kind of fall by the wayside. He's just putting together hot, you know, as many, you know, big stars as he can on a show, and he's not building something for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks from now. And so is this sustainable? I don't think so. I mean, they're going to have to change up something, but I guess it's enjoyable for, you know, for the time that we get to enjoy it. That's all you can say.
Jake, I thought I was throwing you a softball where the official answer was no. Like, I don't think this is sustainable.
Fair enough. I deviated there. My apologies.
No. I just, you made your, like, you explained why, but it took, you know, like, to me, it's like this was a hotshot show. I mean, you have Roman Reigns from SmackDown in the ring, the Universal Champion in the ring twice for lengthy exchanges with the current and former Raw WWE champion. And then you just fill the show with, again, like, you know, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, however you feel about that. They've been building up to that match for a long time. We only got 2.5 minutes of it. So, you know, on and on. The things that I said, this was a densely packed, frenetically paced show that was meant to be, like I said, I think on the high end of testing what their viewership can be in a competitive environment up against football. And again, trying to stave off any kind of embarrassment with Dynamite later this week with that, you know, big show at Arthur Ashe Stadium. I don't think this is sustainable, and I don't think it ought to be. I mean, you literally can't have a first time on Raw appearance of Roman Reigns in 2 years if you did it already. You know, like, they played so many hands. And Vince does this, you know, when he gets bored with a roster split or things aren't going well, there'll be the Raw Super Show, and then they'll combine the rosters, and then he'll talk himself into splitting the rosters again. And this had that vibe of, you know, we need something, and he just challenged his writing team, let's just put on the most loaded, best episode that we can, short of Brock Lesnar in a singles main event. And I think they can have a happy medium between what Raw has often been. But it was noteworthy. I don't remember the last time Drew McIntyre wasn't on a Raw, Jake.
Yeah, wasn't he over in the UK for live events, I think, over the weekend? So maybe he's just not in the States or not available. But
you have that. You know what I mean? Like, you have Drew as somebody who can, and frankly, it's good. You know, he'll feel fresher. This is the first time Drew has been on Raw in I don't know how long. That means, you know, I like when a top star is gone for a while and then comes back and the scene is different. Things have happened. And that was something I was pitching on the VIP show, Everything with Rich Fan, yesterday, the idea of having, you know, NXT 2.0 include, you can do it any way you want, but like 2 month stretches where a wrestler or wrestlers get sent from Raw and SmackDown to NXT for, in a sense, a sabbatical of some kind. And you don't have to frame it as punishment or demotion at all, just a chance to have some fresh matchups. And And, you know, Drew's somebody who might, you know, benefit from just not necessarily going to NXT, but being away for a while. That's the point. Is sometimes when someone's gone for a while, it could be in the form of going to NXT for 2 months. When you come back, it's like, whoa, what's been going on around here? And that's what happened with Reigns. You know, he's been off Raw for so long. He hasn't been in the mix with a lot of people, including just, like, the Raw announcers call, you know, Jimmy Smith never called a Roman Reigns match. So there are a lot of novel things, but I just don't think they can, you know, that they can get particularly close to this kind of vibe that had Johnny, you know, floating with on adrenaline after the show tonight. Greg, I'll throw back to you for a follow-up on that or anything else.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. It's not sustainable. It was just nice to see, but I don't think that this is something that can be duplicated every week or even most weeks. I don't think there's any question about that. That said, though, there were some potential positives to build off of with the show, and I don't know if they'll be built off of or not. As we know, booking can be very erratic, to say the least. But I felt tonight, if tonight was a chance for Big E to prove himself as a viable champion, I think he passed the test with flying colors tonight. I think this was an awesome showing for him. You've got, you know, Wade, you mentioned the challenge. I think it was you who mentioned the challengers lining up for, or there's a number of people who Roman had in his, as far as Lesnar, Finn Balor, Big E, now Lashley's thrown in there to where, like, now, like, any of these, you have four opponents who can all have future matches with Roman that at the very least will be of a high quality. And, you know, Lashley was thrown in there too. And I like the, I like how strong he's being kept despite losing the title. I felt this was a win-win for all three people associated in that match. And then on top of that, you know, you have the, yeah, you have the horribly, borderline criminally underutilized Angel Garza doing something. I mean, it's not, who knows if it will last, but at least he's doing something in a tag team with Humberto Carrillo. We'll see if it lasts or not, but it was nice to see him on television. And I really liked the Shayna Baszler. This is like the Shayna Baszler people want to see, not the Shayna Baszler who was scared of a doll. So there were some positive things to build off of at the very least. So, like, while tonight was hot shot, this might be letting a load out that you can't really let out very often, but there were some things to build off of tonight that that could be positive in the future if they're actually built off of, in my opinion.
All right, Jake, anything you want to follow up on there?
No, I think he's, you know, there's a lot of good points in there. In fact, I think most of these changes seem to be in preparation for the draft. You know, they're turning a lot of corners with characters that have been stale for a while, even switching some of their alignments, like in the case of Baszler. And I think that probably indicates they have plans for them post-draft. And I'm looking forward to seeing where a lot of these folks end up, because you look at Raw and you look at how it's struggled over the last, you know, really 6 or 8 months to generate any kind of television momentum. And it's really about, you know, the show being ice cold. It's not really the matches that have been the problem. You know, they have a lot of wrestlers that are out there working hard every week and a lot of times delivering pretty solid matches, but their programs are cold. And so they definitely need an infusion of fresh talent on Monday nights. And I don't know if that's going to fix all of the problems, but it certainly will fix a lot of the issues with so many programs on the show feeling stale.
Very good. Greg, appreciate the call. Any quick closing words at all?
Yeah, last thing I'll say is I don't think I'm the only one either, but I have not hated the Charlotte Flair Alexa Bliss segments the last couple of weeks. And I mean, I thought that the Eva Marie stuff was just terrible, but like, I have not hated this. As a matter of fact, I've kind of liked it. I think I liked last week's segment better than this week's, but I'm surprised to say that, like, I'm actually somewhat liking these segments, and I'm not, I was not expecting to be able to say that. And that's all. Thank you.
All right, cool. Greg, thanks a lot. All right, give us a call if you are listening to our live stream here, 347-215-8558. Got a couple more callers on hold and a bunch of emails we'll get to also, but you can still join us. When you call that number, push 1 on your keypad. That'll flag you. On the switchboard, you can react to anything we said so far or bring up a new topic. 347-215-8558. We're here Wednesday nights after Dynamite and Friday nights after SmackDown. We also put up best of shows on weekends, and you can subscribe by searching Wade Keller and just subscribe to the Red and Blue Logo Show to catch all our shows throughout the week. All right, we'll go next to Sean from Tennessee. Sean, good to hear from you again. What'd you think of Raw tonight?
Well, first, Wade, it's good to talk to you, and you still are the best reporter in the business. I will continue to say that over and over. Jake, I know it's hard to say that when you're here, but Jake, you're still the man. I still love you. It's good to talk to you, man. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for the kind words.
Yes, sir. I will say it's weird now that I was at the show Friday and I wasn't tonight. It felt kind of weird watching on TV again. It was like, oh, wow, okay, it's back on TV again. All right. But now I know where things are, and it looks cooler now that I've been there. Jake, I was actually at my first show on SmackDown, and I had a fun time with Wade talking about it Friday. But the thing I wanted to say was I think this would be the second week in a row, because I think you said last week the third hour was better than the first hour. And I think this would be maybe the second week in a row that happens, and I don't know if that's happened twice in a row in a long time, because – you know, they did a good job of building up the main event and, you know, whatever, hot-shotting or whatever you call it. I mean, they did a good job of that. And so I feel like this – Wade, would that be the first time in a long time that they would have driven or drawn a better third hour than first hour? Because I think that's possible again this week.
Yeah, they do that on occasion. I mean, it's not, like, crazy when it happens. But, yeah, I mean, it's been typical that they lose viewers by the third hour, I think. – Jake, I think this is a top candidate for as likely a scenario as you can devise for a third hour beating a second, with the only exception being just if the football game, and I wasn't paying any attention tonight, even though I probably should have, to how competitive it was late up against that third hour of Raw.
Yeah, I don't think this was a particularly competitive Monday Night Football game, just looking at the box score.
Who won?
The Packers won the game, but okay. I think, you know, it might work out in WWE's favor. I think Detroit and Green Bay are probably less nationally relevant than last week's Monday night game. And, you know, I think they loaded up the show. And so they're probably hopeful that they put up some decent, you know, Nielsen numbers. You know, as questionably accurate as they are, who really knows what the real viewership numbers are? But I think the way that they, you know, the first half hour of the show was hot, I think, and then you know the first hour kind of dipped off, and then I think the entire third hour felt pretty loaded. So I think there is a pretty good chance they might have had an increase in viewership from hour one all the way through to hour three.
Yeah, actually, last week, and I just checked this because they actually did have a higher third hour than first hour last week also for the title match by a small margin, but it still was more. So, like I said, it happens, but I think the last time it happened was June 21st, if my spreadsheet is right here. So, you know, every few months, you know, you might see a case of a third hour. Actually, it was a long, I think three times this year, but it was a long time before that. But I think especially with last week having a better third hour than first in terms of total viewership, that'll probably repeat itself this week.
Yeah, and that's what's so weird is, like, I mean, Extreme Rules, I mean, they did a good job of, like, the matches that will be on Extreme Rules, they did a good job with that. But, like, Extreme Rules, like, they just need to get rid of it, I think. Like, it doesn't mean anything. They don't really talk about it a whole lot because there's not a lot to really talk about, especially on the Raw portion. I mean, they did the Charlotte and Alexa, I mean, I want to know what you guys thought about that, but it was, you know, I mean, it was a good build to the match. I mean, they did fine there. And the main question I was going to ask about the Raw stuff with Extreme Rules was, you know, going to the Jeff Hardy Sheamus and having Hardy win just to make it a triple threat. Like, you know, I don't know what you guys thought about that. I didn't care for it. I mean, the match was fine for what it was, and they had the good brawl afterwards with Damian and Sheamus because they're both doing a really good job right now, but I don't like triple threats mainly anyway, and just to get Jeff Hardy in there, yeah, it'll be more fun. Triple threats are wild and crazy and all that, and I don't know what stipulation they'll have for the match or whatever, but I didn't like that. What'd you guys think about that part of it?
Jake, what'd you think?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of ambivalent about whether or not Hardy got added to the match. I never really saw Priest as having a high chance of losing the championship either way. And I think having Jeff Hardy probably makes it a better match. And I think triple threat makes more sense for Extreme Rules because, you know, there's no DQs there and they can start bringing in some, some weapons and whatnot if they want to, and maybe a crazy Jeff Hardy bump or two. So I have to imagine Hardy might be the guy there just to take the loss, because they probably don't want to pin Sheamus right ahead of the draft and whatnot. So I'm assuming that's the reason that we're getting that to pay-per-view.
I agree with that. And poor Sheamus, takes off his face mask or it falls off. Oh, should have asked Johnny about that. Why? Did it air on TV or not? Or was it during the break that Sheamus' face mask came off? Do you remember, Jake?
I'm fuzzy. I don't recall one way or the other.
I thought it was during the break. So unless I missed it, but I'm pretty sure that was the case. So I'm curious if he took it off or if it broke or what, but he ended up with a bloody nose again. And I don't know how much of a setback that's going to be for him, but it's one of the things where if you let something heal and then you have a setback, sometimes it can take even longer for it to heal again. So curious what the situation is there. John, I'll go back to you in a second, but I don't want to forget to ask Jake this. What did you think of Bobby Lashley's act without MVP tonight?
I thought it was fine. I didn't think he stood out in a bad way. There were a couple of clumsy moments. I think they tasked him with just saying too much in that backstage segment with the GMs. And so if I were going to do it over again, I'd probably keep it a little shorter and sweeter. But I think Lashley has improved dramatically on the microphone. And I don't mind him speaking for himself.
Yeah. I thought he did well. Sean, back to you.
Yeah, two more quick things. I guess I try not to talk a lot about the tag team stuff just because I feel like Vince just doesn't really care much about it, doesn't really take the time with a lot of that kind of stuff, and which is disappointing because a lot of tag teams could be good. But I guess I liked the Rhea and Nikki A.S.H. won the tag team titles, but it's like they just don't mean anything. I mean, it was good they changed them because they definitely didn't mean anything with Tamina and Natalya having them, because they lost like every match. I mean, they must have lost like every match for like ever since they won the titles, which, just devalues them right there. But is it good to have Rhea and her and Nikki win it just to kind of get something going with them? Like, they have some – I mean, I don't think their chemistry is amazing, but I think it's okay. I think it's fine. And is this just kind of time to get Rhea figured out to where eventually down the road in the next 6 months or whatever, they finally get her in a singles match and get her back on the right track in that way? Is that where you think they're going with that?
I agree with you on the women's tag team titles in general. I wish that they meant more. I know Shotzi is trending because fans of Shotzi and Knox are wondering what the heck's going on. Jake, your take on the women's tag title status and the title change tonight and what Sean brought up.
Yeah, I think Nikki and Rhea are better than I expected. The two of them have that odd couple chemistry that they're making work. And I think it's been a little bit awkward to watch them on Raw because they also have the same kind of thing going on with Riddle and Orton, and they might be doing it a little bit better, to be honest. But I do think it was a good idea to move the titles off of Tamina and Natty. I mean, they won them, 6 months ago or so, and I don't think they've done anything memorable with them since, other than lose non-title matches on TV. And so it's hard to justify keeping the titles on them, particularly when I think Rhea and Nikki are just better overall workers and probably have a better chance of having matches that they'd be, fine, carrying the top of the hour on a TV broadcast on Raw or SmackDown or putting on a pay-per-view with teams like Shotzi and Knox, or I guess they have Carmella and I'm trying to think who her partner is on SmackDown, but they just recently put them together. And then I think they have some teams in that they could be putting together, to bring up to the main roster. I'd love to see Asuka and Io Shirai, get together on the main roster. I think they'd have a hell of a tag team on their hands there. So it's not that the division doesn't have any potential. It's just they pay absolutely no attention to it. And unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to change going forward. This just could be another temporary thing that they stretch out for months until they lose interest in it.
They do like odd couple tag teams, Daniel Bryan and Kane and Randy Orton and Riddle, two examples. Are you liking, and where do you think it can go with Ripley and Nikki in terms of ultimately do their characters grow and benefit from this? being together, or does it seem like it just has a chance to drag one or both of them down?
Well, I'm thinking they'll probably split them up in the draft, and then they'll just end up being on both shows for a while, and hopefully they'll have enough solid matchups that they'll both, you know, feel like they can reintegrate back into their respective singles divisions when it's over and be able to add something there. I don't anticipate that they'll be together for an extremely long time. But again, you know, I didn't think that that would happen to, you know, Natalya and Tamina either. And that's been going on for months and months now. So it's hard to say. I think it really depends on how their chemistry builds over the next couple of months, because I have to imagine they're going to be on a pretty short timer if it doesn't work out.
All right, Sean, I'll throw it back to you for any follow-up on that or another topic.
Yeah, I guess I wanted to quickly just bring up the stuff of Shayna and Nia, as far as, you know, they had Shayna, you know, kind of look like a badass doing all the stuff she was doing, and then they still had her kind of like, oh, I shouldn't have done it, but I did. So what did you make of her facial expressions afterwards, like feeling like, oh, did I regret doing it? And I know they're going to have Nia. I mean, it looks everywhere I can think of that they're going to have her be a baby face, but I just don't think it's going to work. I just don't think the fans are going to really get behind her. I mean, the size thing is just, for me, I've never liked big, you know, I mean, the size for her against Shayna is just like, I don't know. I mean, they can do it because Shayna is a badass, and if they portray her more in that way, I think it could be okay. But I just, where do you think they're going with that? What did you make of Shayna's stuff afterwards? And do you like where they're going with it so far? And I did want to ask you, Wade, too. I know just because Roman was on the show, I mean, I think it kind of, you know, means something going into Extreme Rules. But I think you were talking about, you know, with the Roman, facing the demon at Extreme Rules. I don't know where they can possibly go with that, because I'm assuming they want the demon to lose only because it helps that it's not, quote-unquote, Finn Balor is the demon, so maybe he thinks he's protecting Finn Balor by losing in that way. So where do you think they're ultimately – that's my thought, at least. I want to know what you guys were thinking of that match, just because that's the biggest match on the show, and I'm really curious to know what they're going to do there. And, guys, I appreciate Jake, you're the man. Wade, you're the best. Thank you guys for taking my call, as always.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk to Matt about that tomorrow, but, Jake, I'm curious – on your view. I talked with Rich Fan actually yesterday on the VIP show, Everything with Rich and Wade. So I gave a variety of thoughts and even tried to convince Rich, not tongue in cheek, but sort of like, you know, devil's advocate, why you can make a case for Balor winning. I'll let people listen to Everything if they want to kind of hear me make that case and Rich's kind of response to it. But I mean, I just think people are going into this match just assuming Reigns wins, but how that happens and under what circumstances, assuming it does, there are variables.
Yeah, I think it. Balor would be one of my top candidates to move over to, to Raw. If I were going to start making moves in that main event scene, I think he could make a splash there, and so I think I'd want to protect him to some degree. In that main event, I don't expect, you know, Balor to lose clean. I would assume the bloodline is involved in some way, and maybe we don't get a clean finish. It's hard to, or, you know, even a pinfall. It could be some kind of other situation, you know. But I think Balor's one of those guys where it's like, you know, you gotta be a little bit more careful with him, because you're starting to position him as a star and fans are starting to accept him, and you can't just immediately, quench that. Especially if you want to have him move over to Raw and have an impact there, I think, just a clean Roman finish would be a bit of a mistake. And given that it's already an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and they'll probably add a stipulation to that match on Friday that will give them the out that they need, I expect that's the direction they'll go.
All right, very good. Let's go to Kyle in Baltimore. Kyle, appreciate you calling and holding. What'd you think of Raw tonight?
Yeah, I think it was the best, one of the best episodes of Raw I've seen in a while. I actually want to touch on Extreme Rules for a minute, because I just find this fascinating of the matches that are happening. There are like six matches they announced. and he only matched that date, and he found, and having Finn Balor and Roman Reigns as an Extreme Rules match out of the blue, out of nowhere, it's like, okay, well, fine. Guess it makes sense. It's Extreme Rules. I was waiting for it, and Extreme Rules match is like, okay, well, finally got one. So, whatever. But I just feel like this pay-per-view is a complete afterthought because of the draft and what happened tonight. And I think just from watching this episode, really, I was waiting for them to add Big E to be on Sunday, and they never did. So that part was really weird to me. It feels like to me the entire pay-per-view is like a complete afterthought because they don't care about Extreme Rules. They just care about the draft. They care about what happened with Roman Reigns being on Raw tonight. That's what it felt like to me. I don't know. It just felt kind of almost forgetting that Extreme Rules is Sunday, almost feels like, because it's like kind of like an afterthought and everything.
Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, I assume we're gonna get a Lashley and Big E match potentially added to the show. I'm in response perhaps to that chair attack in the main event. And so I don't know if it's, you know, if it's been an afterthought, but there has been a certain lack of focus because, you know, they're announcing matches. I think that, you know, they announced Lesnar and Reigns for the Saudi show, and that kind of seemingly moved Finn Balor into the background, so to speak. And they're, you know, they haven't really made much out of the stipulations. You know, there isn't. I mean, compare this to the horror show at Extreme Rules last year, where you had the eye for an eye match and the Wyatt Swamp fight and, you know, all that stuff. I think I almost would rather them take a more conservative approach to it than what they did last year. So I'm not going to openly complain about it because it could go the wrong direction at any moment. But I do think there's something to the idea that they haven't been as focused on the pay-per-view as they normally would have been because they have, you know, a lot of issues with TV competition that they've been fighting off, and they also have the draft coming up and they're planning for that, and also the Saudi show coming up quickly after Extreme Rules. It does seem like Extreme Rules has kind of faded into the background a bit.
All right, Kyle, back to you.
Yeah, and so, and you know, for I just can't honestly can't also wait too, because next week's going to be crazy for me because the Extreme Rules and Raw and SmackDown, which I'll be at, which would be a really good show because I haven't been at a show since, 2019? So it's been a lot since I've been to a WWE show, so I'm looking forward to that for sure. So that's going to pretty much, I'm like skipping through this entire week almost for like getting to next Friday, but that's my own personal thing. But I was thinking I'll stick to Alexa Bliss and her being with Charlotte. I really enjoy Alexa a lot. I enjoy Alexa on Raw, and I enjoy Becky Lynch on SmackDown. Like, that's the two of them I'm like really into right now in terms of, I've always been into both of them anyway. But yeah, it's just Alexa herself. It's really, she really made this character really work. Before I was kind of confused. Well, yeah, a little confused of how she was going to be in a feud with someone else, and then when there was no fans still, there was still in the Thunderdome earlier this year, and headed to back again. Like, Alexa's always been has been popular as it is already. It just became even more with this character, which I'm kind of surprised people are really loving this, but from her, which is interesting, which I guess is just from her herself, because Alexa's great. But with this feud here, I think I'm going to see Alexa win this belt because I don't know what will be for Charlotte if she does, like, retain. And then, you know, of course, the draft, who knows where these people are going to be, and if NXT is going to be involved or not, probably so. After what happened on Tuesday, people getting lost, thinking to make you called up or whatever. So I don't know. With Alexa, I feel like still it's just, I want her to win the belt, but I just, would you have a Charlotte lose again after winning it back last month? But do they want to be Alexa? So it's either going to end up being a disqualification or Alexa's just going to win the title and whatever. What do you think about that entire segment from Alexa?
Yeah. Jake, what did you see going on there? And do you think it was a success?
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Wade, that it felt like a segment where they were both attempting to deconstruct each other's gimmicks a little bit. And, you know, I think Johnny added an important point that, you know, there are aspects of Alexa's character that are working, and I think some of the supernatural and infantile elements of it that aren't. And I think you have to look at that from a long-term perspective if you're WWE about Bliss in particular. I know that they've been very happy with the success of the merchandise sales, particularly the Lily dolls that have apparently been moving pretty well. But for my taste, and I know, you know, there's wide subjective taste on things, the best parts of Alexa's character aren't any of the parts that she inherited from Bray Wyatt, right? It's really the core part of who Alexa Bliss is and that she's been for years that worked as a part of this segment with Charlotte tonight. And I'd say, you know, Charlotte's role, you know, worked because I think she's easy to punch up at if you're, another women's character in WWE, because she's been on top for so long. She's held so many championships. They've been so disciplined about having her promote herself as the queen, and how even when she's not holding the title, she's seemingly in rarefied air in that division. And so she's an easy person to tear down. And so I think the segment was effective from that standpoint, but I still, you know, from the 10,000-foot view, I look at what they're doing with Alexa Bliss and I say there's nothing about what she's doing right now that's working that wouldn't work if she was just the mean girl Alexa Bliss that she had been 2 or 3 years ago.
Is Alexa right that Charlotte without a belt is just, it's like, what is there? If, I mean, her, either she's a champion or she's going to be complaining about not being a champion. And it was interesting. I mean, it was deconstructing each other's gimmicks, but I thought it raised the stakes for the match in the sense that you're thinking, well, maybe Bliss is getting, you know, getting to Charlotte. And I don't, it's rare you hear a wrestler say, cause I always think it, well, to have won a title that many times, you have to lose it that many times too. So that's where it kind of got into that territory of, yeah, they're trying to convince people, kind of like CM Punk's pipe bomb, that like some unauthorized things are being said, or they're really going after each other. But what was said rang true enough that I think it worked. But of course, in the end, it still was, you know, we're tearing the doll off, we're tearing the head off a doll.
Yeah, there were parts of it, particularly from Charlotte's perspective, where I think the segment wasn't as good as it could be, because Charlotte is 100%. All the time above everything. And so when somebody insults her, she just rolls her eyes and just dismisses it without giving it a second thought. Her programs would be so much more interesting if she actually allowed something to get to her once in a while. Like if something cracked the facade, if it got underneath her skin and she displayed some other emotion besides being above everyone and everything in the ring. Because I think that's really the weakness of Charlotte's act. As good as she is in the ring and as consistent as she's been as a character, she doesn't really evolve past where she is right now because they don't let her. She doesn't emotionally react to anything, and it's a problem.
That's a that is a great point. Heck, they could have added that to Alexa's speech. Jake, where were you during, while they were coming up with this?
Not in the writer's room.
Right.
At home working on something, I'm sure.
Yes. Kyle, back to you for follow up or anything else.
Yeah, and it was interesting. So with and also too the back to when I heard that too, I couldn't think back to what Becky's doing right now for being the champion as well. Of seeing that, I cannot. If Becky loses the championship, it'd be so weird to see Becky without that championship. So it's kind of like the same thing with Becky now at this point. If she's in that category where if she loses the championship, at least she never will, feels like to me. It's like, man, it's kind of like Becky Lynch and Roman Reigns are kind of like in the same lanes that I can't see either person losing their championship because they're that good. So that's how that felt to me when Alexa was saying that. And so I think last thing I'll talk about is just the, I don't know, is that because of the, I'll say Eva Marie. Why is she on TV? At this point, I don't know why she's on TV.
Yes.
I have, I, I, she, she runs away. She's not wrestling. She needs to wrestle. You cannot just be, you cannot just talk. You can't just look pretty and act like some girl in a magazine. You gotta have to wrestle. You can't just be a heel. Becky's a heel, but she wrestles. Sasha's a heel, but she wrestles. Alexa, well, she's a heel. She wrestles. They wrestle. At the end of the day, they end up having matches. They don't just talk. Roman Reigns wrestle. You gotta have to wrestle. You can't just talk and be a heel. You gotta have to actually physically wrestle. I don't know why she's still on TV at this point. But yeah.
Yeah. No. Thanks. Is there anything else, Kyler? Can we answer that and then say goodbye?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. I love when you get worked up about Eva. I think you are channeling a lot of people's feelings watching television as you raise your intensity level and anger level there. Jake, what is the point of Eva? And is it just hilarious that like they don't have anything else they can do with her but just sort of insult Doudrop and lose? Like, what is the end game? And is there a next thing for Eva that, like, what could that be?
I think if there was like a phase two of this, we would have seen it already. Like, I really don't think there's a whole lot that Eva has to offer in the ring in particular. Could she be a successful valet? I think she could probably pull that off if they could find, a partner for her to represent, so to speak. I even thought at one point that might be where this was going with Doudrop, where Eva would, you know, see what she does in the ring and realize that she had a gold mine on her hands if she was managing her, you know. And so
yeah.
I was surprised it didn't go in that direction, but I think there's, you know, they need to get Doudrop away from her because I think she has far more to offer than what she's giving right now. And I think Eva needs to be off TV until they have something for her to do, because clearly she has very little to offer as a women's competitor in the ring, and they have to find her somebody else to attach her to that she can be the heat seeker for, because I think people hate her enough just in general. You know, she gets a negative reaction just from walking through the entrance, that she could be valuable to somebody as a, you know, as a heel manager.
Absolutely. All right. If anyone wants to give us a call while we answer some emails, feel free. 347-215-8558. Otherwise we'll wrap up with a few emails here. We'll start with Zach in Texas. I'm guessing it's something about Nia Jax, but maybe not. Let me see. I don't see her name in here. All right. Let me see if I understand this, he says. They threw a six-man match together on Friday with no build or explanation of how it can happen with a brand split, but featuring both major world champions. The explicit purpose of said match was to compete with Monday Night Football and draw a viewership number, a high enough number to prevent AEW from pulling off a huge coup on Wednesday. And they run that match first? That's got to be one of the dumbest booking decisions. Do they really think any extra viewers they enticed are going to stick around to watch a show with booking that's been as substandard as that for a very long time? I was shocked to hear Danielson versus Omega will kick off Dynamite, but at least that card is loaded. Can't say the same for Raw. Given credit, though, he managed to undermine his own transparent ratings grab. So Zach brings up an interesting point. The structure of the show, we haven't really talked about whether it was a good or bad move on their part to have Reigns wrestle twice against, you know, some of the same people. Not Lashley, but he interfered, and there was some action there between them. Should they have just built up the match they advertised and not given away the Reigns entrance early in the show? Or was it smart to bookend it and see if you can't get a two-for-one?
I think they did what they had to do to spread out what they thought was their biggest draws throughout the show. You know, they probably looked at the quarter hours last week and saw that they lost a whole bunch of viewers after football kicked off, in the first hour, which was their worst one last week, if I remember correctly. And so they thought, well, we'll give them 30 minutes worth of solid, you know, Roman Reigns and the New Day to start the show, and maybe we'll hold on to some people through the first two quarter hours. And then they sort of, you know, they put Eva and Doudrop out after that, so it seems like they must have conceded that they weren't going to hold on to everybody for the whole hour. And then they paced themselves. They gave us a couple of decent backstage segments to push the main event throughout the second hour, along with some decent matches in the ring. And then we got the final push heading into that final hour of the show. And so I think the show structure makes sense if you were willing to do whatever it took to hold on to the audience throughout the night. I think that was the goal here.
All right. Up next, Christopher T. Can we just talk about that Conrad's Cure segment with Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross? I refuse to call her by her new stupid name. One, the world was going on with Ripley. I couldn't decide if she was entirely disinterested in the segment or if she had completely forgotten her lines. She then appeared to get choked up and upset, which I think was her odd way of covering up for the general disinterest or lack of enthusiasm. And if you are WWE, why would you want your badass female star going out on the ramp and crying? The whole segment was terrible. In Rhea's one line, the WWE does so much for pediatric cancer. Obviously, these lines are written for Rhea. Does WWE realize how ridiculous they sound kissing their own asses like that? So I admitted earlier, and I don't do this for any part of Raw if I can help it, but I was a few minutes behind and fast-forwarded during this. I had no idea how long it would go. It sounds like it was a little more newsworthy than I anticipated, so I'll go back and watch it. But, Jake, what do you have to say to what Christopher said there? And it was weird having the, you know, the wrestlers sort of do the whole charity thing.
I hadn't, you know, seen or heard Nikki or Rhea associated with Connor's Cure before, and maybe they do charity work for them, and I'm just unaware of it, so I won't say that that's impossible. But I think Nikki might have been the right person to lead the charge, because you kind of feel like an asshole for booing her, you know, just given her character and her sincerity and her enthusiasm for the charity that she seemed to have. And so I think it was all right if you were going to have a pause in the show that seemingly was just to promote their charitable works. And I don't know how, you know, Connor's Cure fares reputation-wise, but it's associated with all, you know, other reputable charities. I think it's the University of Pittsburgh Children's Hospital and the V Foundation and stuff like that that are a part of Connor's Cure. And so it's probably the least shady of all of WWE's nonprofit activities. And so I don't want to pick on it too much, but it was oddly placed in the show right before a tag title match. And I do agree that Rhea Ripley seemed a little bit less interested in what was happening than Nikki Cross, but it wasn't distracting to the point where I thought it, you know, it ruined the segment or anything. It was fine.
All right. Yep. All right. Up next, Jordan from Melbourne, Australia. Three women's matches, which totaled under 7 minutes in length. Why even bother? Or was it just to end these feuds before the draft? I assume that Baszler or Jax will get traded to SmackDown, probably Baszler to feud with Lynch, which I'm fine with. Even Doudrop never gets old. I could watch it every week until the end of time. Obviously, I'm joking. Eva would possibly work with Carmella and Zelina, so move her to SmackDown if you're not going to release her. As far as Ripley and Nikki, they aren't as over as WWE thinks. Ripley cannot cut a promo to save herself, and Nikki is popular with a few kids, and that's it. Tamina and Natty will probably be going their separate ways now. Maybe Tamina and Nia will get together again. The Charlotte Alexa segment wasn't too bad and continued their storyline heading to Extreme Rules. Alexa doesn't need the title to get over, just like Bray didn't. Maybe put the title on Lily and see what happens. Shame on you, Jordan. Funnily enough, this segment went longer than the three women's matches combined. Wow, is that true? I guess it probably is. And by the way, are there any Extreme matches at Extreme Rules? Thanks, Jordan from Melbourne, Australia. Jake, I mean, just a lot of, yeah, he's right. I mean, three women's matches and a women's talking segment. It was a lot, but it does sort of feel like we're just trying to get a bunch of stuff in before we have to shift to the draft, and a lot of these people won't be on the same show for a while.
Yeah, that was my feeling on it too. I think, you know, four women's segments, even if they are short, is better than they've been doing on SmackDown recently, where it seems like it's the Becky Lynch and Belair show, and rightfully so, but they don't make a lot of time for the other women. And so I guess I wouldn't call this a complete loss in that category. And I would have expected the go home show to have a fairly long segment about the women's title. So I can't complain too much. I think there was a lot of pessimism in the email there, and I guess some of it might be warranted, but I think they set up a lot of women on this show to be much better after the draft, which I think is going to be their focus for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Finally, Dave from Holyoke, Mass. says, I was about to go to bed until I read some negativity by fans on a news site who called this show trash in another a bad episode of Raw. Why are you going to those sites? Well, there were flaws. Every show is going to have those, whether it's 3 hours or 30 minutes. All I know is I was looking forward to segments for the first time in a long time. There was a buzz in the air, and the crowd seemed into it, which made me more into it. I know not everyone will agree, so in case you end up with some different opinions, I just wanted to make sure there was a positive view out there. I enjoy the major wrestling shows during the week and usually can take or leave Raw. But consistent shows like this would make it hard to skip. Maybe I'm just being too positive due to the first hour and the last 30 minutes, but wrestling should leave you feeling good, right? I'm off to bed feeling good. Have a good night. Yeah, I mean, Jake, Raw as a brand is damaged. And it's, you know, this is the flagship and the legacy brand of pro wrestling shows. And it has a bad reputation that it earned. And certainly shows like this make it feel more like the A show. Over at ProWrestling.net, the site you're part of, it's got a 78% thumbs up, 10% thumbs in the middle, 8% thumbs down. So I think Dave can sleep well if he's listening to us here, that the vast majority did see the show, I think the way he did, as a good or great show. More said good than great, but a high number for both. So this, you know, post-draft, I really would like to see Vince McMahon, and it's hard with 3 hours, and it's hard with a larger audience of 2.2 million plus. I think this was the second week in a row they were 2.2 million on Fox last Friday, compared to what Raw's drawing, you know, around 1.6 million, give or take. It's a smaller audience, and Raw is sort of becoming the B show, but USA didn't pay for it. Yeah, NBC Universal didn't pay for a B show. He's got to put up at least a convincing front that isn't transparent to see through in this draft that Raw is still a priority, and part of rebuilding the Raw brand is sending that message to fans.
Yeah, I can't disagree with the summary that you gave there. I think Raw has suffered a lot, particularly in the eyes of core fans who have been following the show for a long time. You know, the quality slipped dramatically during the pandemic, and it feels like it's still struggling to recover. And a lot of the people that were part of that are still on Raw and are still feeling pretty cold. And so I guess if you're WWE, you're probably looking to this draft as an opportunity to pull some talent from your hotter show, which is SmackDown, and infuse Raw with some star power. And in vice versa, the people that you move over to SmackDown, they'll instantly feel fresh on a much more viewed show, and hopefully you can rehabilitate them there. And so there really don't seem to be any downsides at this point to me to having a draft and mixing things up. But I agree, this was a much better show than in recent months, and a lot of it has to do with how, you know, adding Reigns, adding the Bloodline, arguably their hottest program, to this show and having them interact with another popular new champion. I mean, it certainly, you know, brings a lot more intrigue than what we had been seeing. You know, you saw people in that opening match, actually get on their feet, you know, for the first interaction between Big E and Roman Reigns. I think that's a really encouraging sign. And so, yeah, there's a lot more going on these past couple of episodes than there have been, you know, in recent memory. And like you talked about earlier, it's not completely sustainable. You can't have shows loaded with star power week after week, you know, unless you're going to end the brand split and start, you know, moving really fast through a bunch of feuds that you'd probably rather not. And so it's certainly something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. But I think the draft is probably what they're looking at as being a solution to a long-running set of problems on both shows.
Very good. Well, this was I wouldn't call it as much of a newsworthy show as some, in the sense that we kind of knew it was going to happen, and they just did a lot of it. You know, a lot of Roman Reigns and forwarding Lashley and Big E. But I thought, you know, kind of going back to my question for you, was successful in terms of elevating Raw for at least 1 week. So I like the idea of having a show that it's hot shot, but it wasn't like we turned anyone. Yes, they, you know, did the take title change for the women. But this was more about, you know, teasing big time matchups. I guess my final question for you is, did they give too much away? That was kind of the question I had at the end of my report. It was Lashley and seeing as much as we did, because I can imagine this being a criticism some would have, is they just gave too much away of Big E against Reigns and Big E against Lashley and Lashley against Reigns. Did they, or was it exciting enough and there'll be enough of a gap, at least with two of the three one-on-one matchups, that it'll be fresh by the time it happens again?
Yeah, I don't think they gave too much away. I think they have plenty of ammunition to go back to all of those matches. New Day and the Bloodline, Lashley and either Roman Reigns or, you know, Big E, depending on which brand he sticks with. I don't think they completely, gave away the farm and now they can't go back to it because they gave a bunch of clean finishes and there's no stories left to tell there. I think there's plenty of stories left to tell. And I guess the counter argument to, they gave too much away on this week's show is, well, then they probably haven't been giving enough away the past couple of months, right? They just haven't had enough to fill 3 hours of TV in an entertaining fashion with the roster and the programs that they had going, because this is the first time anybody's been talking about Raw in months and months. And so I think they have to find a way, maybe not to keep things up at this frenetic pace, but to give people enough on a weekly basis to actually keep us coming back, because Raw has been a show that you could easily justify catching up with 20 minutes of YouTube clips the day after the show, because it just hasn't been something that's been worth dedicating 3 hours to. And they have to change that impression. It's widespread.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Jake, tell people how they can follow you on social media and hear and see more of what you do covering professional wrestling.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BarnettJake with 2 T's. You can also find me over at ProWrestling.net. I do both WWE and AEW TV reports. I cover Dynamite most weeks, but this week I'll be covering SmackDown on Friday, switching with Jason Powell. You can also find me in the .NET Weekly Audio Show, where Jason and I go through all of the key news every week, and I also join Jason for pay-per-view audios for WWE and AEW, so you can catch me if you have a ProWrestling.net membership this Sunday as well for Extreme Rules.
Excellent. You can follow me on social media at The Wade Keller, and you can follow our brand at PW Torch. Check out my website, our website, pwtorch.com, for live coverage of Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, my reports, along with alt perspective reports, plus breaking news throughout the week, many other TV reports, plus I'll be by Sunday night covering Extreme Rules live. Jake, thanks so much. Great talking to you again.
Always a pleasure, Wade. Thanks for having me.
Yep, and thanks to our callers and our emailers and our on-site correspondent, Johnny Fairplay. Until next time, Wade Keller thanking you and signing off for tonight.